President Taylor, I am pleased to present to you Deborah Wildes for the conferral of the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa. Dr. Wildes will also be our commencement speaker today, and please receive this citation as also her introduction. Today we honor a woman who has made it possible for hundreds of college students, including a significant number of Whitworth Act 6 students, to attend college and excel in their studies. Deborah Wildes has been a tireless advocate for higher education and has helped to provide college access to many lower-income, first-generation students. Under her leadership, the College Success Foundation, of which she is president and chief operating officer, has distributed more than $100 million among more than 6,300 students. CSF's programs, which begin in middle school and continue through high school and college, have been a godsend for students who have the intellect and the heart to do well in college, but who may not have the financial resources or other types of support that prepare them for Whitworth and other institutions of higher learning. Students who have worked with CSF before and over the course of their Whitworth careers have provided significant student leadership at this campus over the past few years, and most mention CSF as being instrumental in their college success. CSF also has an alumni program that follows its students and monitors their success. And more than 1,600 CSF students have completed their degrees and positioned themselves to succeed in their professions and to contribute to our state's economy. Dr. Wildes' own higher education culminated in a PhD in education policy, planning, and administration from the University of Maryland at College Park. Her master's degree in education administration was awarded by Howard University, and she completed her Bachelor of Science in Speech Pathology and Audiology at California State University, San Diego. Before joining CSF in 2006, Dr. Wildes was a senior program officer for education with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where she served as the foundation's liaison to the Gates Millennium Scholars Program, the Gates Cambridge Scholars, and the Washington State Achiever Program. She has also developed other college access-related programs for low-income students and students of color. She has served as Deputy Director of the American Council on Education's Office of Minorities in Higher Ed, and she serves on various boards, including those of the District of Columbia College Success Foundation, Philanthropy Northwest, and College Spark. In response to her years of dedication to serving students in Washington State and throughout the nation, as well as to her unwavering determination to encourage students to succeed in college and thereby enrich higher education and the world, I am proud to represent Whitworth University as we confer upon Deborah Wildes this honorary degree. Mr. President.
Dr. Wildes, it's with great pleasure that I say that by the virtue of the authority vested in me by the Whitworth University Board of Trustees and the State of Washington, I do hereby confer upon you the degree Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa, with all the rights and honors appertaining thereto. Congratulations.
Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope.
Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Deborah Wilds, the right mic is open for business.
Good morning. Good afternoon, rather. To the members of the Board of Trustees, President Taylor, deans, faculty, staff, family members, friends, and most of all, Whitworth University graduates, let me begin by saying what a pleasure it is to be here this afternoon and to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the honor that you've given me to have me as your commencement speaker and also to bestow upon me this honorary degree. I want to thank President Taylor and the student leaders of your graduating class for inviting me to be your commencement speaker. I am particularly honored and humbled today, not just because I was a member of the board for the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, not just because of the work that I do at the College Success Foundation, but I am most honored because as believers, we are co-laborers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, before I begin, I want all of our graduates to stand and to give your family members, friends, and your professors and the administration a roaring round of applause for the support, the love that has brought you here today. Thank you. I also want to honor and acknowledge my husband, Fred Wiles, and my great nephew, Eric Smith, who are also here with us today. Would you just wave? That's my support system. Now to our graduates. Today is a day that should linger long in your memories. It is a day of completion. It marks an important level of progress towards your personal success. Today marks the victorious achievement of goals that you have set for yourself. It marks yet one more step in the fulfillment of God's purpose for your life. You should feel very proud and very powerful today because each of you have met and overcome obstacles through hard work, persistence, and most of all, God's grace and love. By completing your educational goals here at Whitworth University, you are taking an important step towards positioning yourself to be a yielded vessel that the Lord can use for His purpose. You have walked down the road that thousands before you have tread. You have created footprints for thousands more who will follow at this great institution. As Whitworth graduates, you have been provided an education of mind and heart, characterized by rigorous and open intellectual inquiry and the integration of Christian faith and learning. Under the leadership of your new president, Dr. Beck Taylor, Whitworth has set a bold vision for the future, one that builds on its mission at the crossroads, that brings together the deep resources of its Christian mission with a broad spectrum of ideas, voices, perspectives to equip you as its graduates. As you have heard many times, and most of you can recite, to honor God, follow Christ, and serve humanity. You have been encouraged to serve both God and others, not by escaping the culture or by identifying with it, but by engaging it through Christian thinking and Christ-like service, with the goal of ultimately influencing it for God's glory. I want to speak to you a few moments this afternoon about the crossroad of service and greatness as demonstrated so powerfully through the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our Old Testament scripture, Isaiah foretold of the coming of Christ, who would be God's servant and whom God the Father would uphold and be well pleased with. The Father put a confidence in Christ Jesus that he would go through with his assignment, and that confidence brought many to glory. While our New Testament scripture from Mark 10 shows that Jesus understood and was completely committed to the call to be the Redeemer of mankind, and thus became the master servant to all who believe on him, Christ's message to us was simple but utterly profound. The higher you go as a leader, the greater servant you must become and the greater sacrifice. Just think, if he had come to be served, our redemption would never have taken place. That's a horrific thought. Likewise, our failure to live as friends to Jesus, as Pastor Eugene Peterson reminded us this morning at the baccalaureate service, and as servants, throws a huge barrier to effective ministry as representatives of Jesus Christ. Greatness in God's kingdom is never to be found in position or power, or in the praise or opinion of other people, but in servant-like service to others, even when they don't appreciate it or they reject it. One of the greatest hindrances to servanthood is the desire for some form of exaltation through position, praise, prestige, or power. A servant, first of all, is one who is under submission to another. For Christians, this means first submission to God, then submission to one another. Then, as one who is in submission, a servant is one who seeks to meet the real needs of others. A servant is one who, even when in a position of leadership, seeks to lead and influence others through a life given in ministering to them. The purpose of serving others is to set them free to love and to serve God. Let me say that again. The purpose of serving others is to set them free to love and to serve God. That is truly our highest calling as believers. It is my hope that each of you have developed a deep knowledge about the complexities and the dynamic nature of our own culture, as well as that of others, and that you have made a commitment to being an instrument of service and change. As Christian College graduates, you have been uniquely equipped to integrate biblical truths, intellectual capital, professional skills, to live in a complex and increasingly diverse world. It is my prayer that you have gained the skills, knowledge, and disposition to establish respectful and constructive relationships with people who differ from you, that you have gained an understanding of how human differences often become the fault lines for conflict instead of an affirmation of dignity and sanctity and the diversity of God's creation. So what's next for you? what awaits you? What are the new challenges facing society longing for your engagement? How will you choose to impact your generation, your community, the body of Christ, and our world? How will you choose to embrace God's purpose for you through a life of service? There is no shortage of need in our communities and our world, but there continues to be a shortage of people with the long-term commitment to service, people who are dedicated to eradicating the many problems that plague all of us. Servant living stands in opposition to the primary concerns we see today, where the focus of our culture and society is more on our own personal happiness and comfort. When we look at the world, we clearly see that we live in a world that is in deep crisis in far too many ways. We live in a world in which we say we care about children, but we let hundreds of millions of them live without basic food, shelter, education, and health care in most developing countries, as well as in many urban and rural communities within our own country. We live in a world where we profess that we care about the environment, but we continue to pollute ourselves into a corner. We live in a world where we say we want peace, we desire peace, but yet terrorism and war and inhumane atrocities, not peace, are the order of the day. We live in a world, one in which we say we believe in equality and opportunity for all, but yet we turn a blind eye to gender, racial, ethnic, religious discrimination and injustice in our country and abroad. We still live in a highly racialized society in which education and economic opportunities are largely contingent upon one's ethnicity, the color of their skin, or where they grew up. Even as our nation grows more diverse, most children and young people can still look around their classrooms and see that they belong to the dominant racial or ethnic group, if not the only one. As Spencer Perkins in his book, More Than Equals, as well as Chris Rice in his book, Grace Matters, have shown us that the work of racial healing and social justice in the national context is enormously difficult. The process is so taxing that, as Christians, it tests our commitment to repentance, truth-telling, peacekeeping, and forgiveness so profoundly that most of us who embark on those efforts eventually abandon them. Yet our God is a God of equity. Our God is a God of justice. So as Christians, shouldn't we be in the forefront of efforts to bring about justice, healing, and reconciliation? For there cannot be healing and reconciliation without justice and equity. So graduates, how are you going to impact our crisis-filled world? I frequently ask myself two questions. How have I chosen to serve others in this day? And am I using the gifts and the talents that God has placed in me in that service? I pray that I've allowed God to use the righteous indignation that I feel about injustice to fuel the fire in my belly to continue to work to eliminate the horrific inequities in schooling of many low-income children and children of color. As I've moved from being a classroom teacher to a community relations advocate to the co-founder of an independent school and primary school to a higher education program and advocacy director to a foundation officer, and now to the president and chief operating officer of the College Success Foundation. I've come to understand that it is my passion about improving the life circumstance of children and youth through education that drives me to excel. I've also come to understand that having knowledge increases responsibility. Therefore, I have an obligation not only to live out God's purpose that He has deposited in me, but also the privilege and honor of passing that knowledge along to others. The Apostle Paul said in Timothy, "If you teach these things to other followers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ." Imagine how different our world would be if everyone knew their purpose, lived it out, and passed that on to others. So, class of 2011, after you leave here today, how will you choose to operationalize the mandate of service that Christ has exemplified for us? You are already looking beyond the many challenges and claiming the power of knowledge through your educational success. Now your job is to be good stewards of what you've already begun to cultivate and then enable it to grow. Now is not the time to rest. So when deciding on what your next step will be, remember that in the end, success is not measured by quantity. It will be the quality of your life and how you serve others that will ultimately make a difference in God's creation. Someone here today will leave with a degree in education that will be a bridge between cultures that will change the life of a child struggling to learn. A graduate of the nursing program will provide care and caring for a family member whose life depends on the recovery of a loved one. A future business owner in this room will open the doors to educational advancement for someone on their staff in need of a little extra support. All of you can contribute a personal and unique piece to our wonderfully complex life tapestry because you care. It is your caring and God's unfathomable grace and love that brought you here today. It is your caring and your love for others that will carry you forth into God's purpose for your life. As I conclude, I want to share with you a quote from A Covenant to Keep by Oscar Romero, the then Archbishop of El Salvador. And interestingly enough, I know the hand of God is on this commencement because at the baccalaureate service this morning, Professor Stronach, the political science professor here, shared the same quote as she ended the benediction. And the Lord gave it to me as well. So we know that often you have to hear something twice. So God really wanted you as the graduates of 2011 to hear this again. We plant seeds that one day will grow or maybe die. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay a foundation that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and to do the rest. We may never see the results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builder. We are ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future that is not our own. End of quote. So when you return your caps and gowns and pursue your next step, remember that the important thing about life is what you do in the dash. What do I mean by that? When we pass on from here, two sets of numbers mark our arrival and departure on this earth. They are separated by a dash. Today represents that dash. So, graduates, again, I commend you for your tremendous accomplishments and say to you, go out into the world, be powerful, be glorious examples of God's goodness and Jesus' service. Walk boldly in your purpose. Shine your lights brightly to illuminate your path so that others can clearly see and will be easily encouraged to follow your lead. Congratulations. May God bless you and continually richly bless you as you keep your faith and pursue God's best for your lives. Thank you.